The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by Comcast, North Shore University Health System, PNC, and Miller Lite. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome into the Coaches Show. A rough first half kind of spoiled the trip to Dallas for the Bears. They fall to the Cowboys 31-17 last night. We bring this live to you from the PNC studios here at Hallis Hall. Good evening, Coach. How you doing?
Doing good, Jeff.
Basically, you said it yesterday, again today, the three phases need to play together, and no complimentary football really last night, and out of phase for the moment at 0-3.
Yeah, I think anytime you let them score the first four times they get the ball, that doesn't help your cause. And like I said, the one thing that was encouraging was, basically outscored them in the second half. Unfortunately, we dug ourselves too big of a hole in the first half.
And it started with an offensive snap that didn't go right. But a whole game and a whole night, one snap can't set a whole tone. But there have been back-to-back games now where the first series hasn't gone so great. Can it? I mean, is that something that you have to work your way out of? And can a team not be that fragile to have one snap kind of set a tone?
Well, I think, if you look at the first three games, Jeff, we haven't had the same lineup yet. I mean, we had a new center to start the season, played two games. And then this past game, we've got a new quarterback. So, a lot of those things, they take a minute. We've got to get it cleaned up fast. It's not like it's overly complicated, but there's no doubt we do need to get better.
Any hidden dangers now with a younger team that starts 0-3 in terms of a psyche and so forth?
No different than any team that starts 0-3. I think, I like our locker room. I think we've got guys that are going to give their all. I think a good indicator of that was how we battled in the second half. We just got to get better. We're not playing good enough football to win games. In three games, we've really only played a half in each one that would be anything close to consistent. So, putting the 60 minutes or both halves together is going to be critical.
And there's plenty of voices in that room now, too, that'll speak up, won't they?
Yeah, I don't think, that's not the issue. I think it's just a matter of executing better and, getting some continuity. This is the ultimate of team games, and it's nice to have been together for a minute. And we don't have a lot of real senior leadership as far as the years in the league in that locker room, but guys that are plenty willing.
Yeah, it's not, they're an emotional team, though. I mean, I even hear it, during the course of the week going in there. They have fun together. They talk. They're loud in there, giving each other, razzing each other. And when they go to work, there's some guys that like to chirp a little bit. I'm saying it in a positive way. So
yeah,
I think that's good, though.
Yeah, there's no doubt that's good. And it's like I said, it's a good bunch. We just haven't, mastered all our football skills yet.
All right, so the second half, the encouragement was the performance in overall 14-7. You outscore them. Do you evaluate it the same way as you would a game that's 0-0 in the first half? Do you evaluate everything that way, even though you guys are digging out of a hole?
Well, ultimately, the most important stat is W's, and we haven't got one of those in three outings. So it still is what it is, and you have to, go back and you have to find the bright spots. I call it good, bad, and ugly. There are good things that do happen. I think we had eight explosive plays in this game, which we had not had that, both runs and passes. I think, Zach Miller had a good night, as far as two touchdown passes and the multitude of catches as far as our receiving core. Like Kevin White had his best outing to date. So there are positives, just not enough of them.
So you said the good, bad, and ugly, so I was going to have you break them down in category, and you already got the good. That was my next question.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, third down becomes a problem.
Yeah.
We haven't done very well in offense or defense. We've been up and down a little bit like our season thus far. That's a critical area. I think turnovers, again, we gave up two and we only took away one. That never helps. So those are key factors. I think pressure on the quarterback, everybody talks about the rush yardage. They probably had 45 to 50 yards by the quarterback. Now it goes on run totals. And so that's more on drop back passes, not design runs where, we don't do a good job of hemming him up and letting him out.
And because of of what you just said, the continuity, and continuity is king in professional football, all of football. I mean, reps together make a big difference as the season wears on. Is that the bigger picture confidence that you have still in this team?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at the number of guys that were missing, you know, last night on defense in particular, you know, it is a pretty long list, and we have some young guys go in there, and, you know, they gave it their best effort, but, you know, in some cases it wasn't quite good enough.
There's players that came out of the field that Bears fans are not familiar with last night, obviously. Nick Kwiatkowski, the linebacker, got the start. Give a little. I know it's a hard name to say, right?
Nick.
I'm even hoping I got it right.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe one day we'll call him Special K. How about that? And make it nice and simple. But Cravon LeBlanc, who we heard a lot about, and had a good week of practice last week. He got in there and some nickel as well. So those are just a couple of examples of guys you're taking a look at.
Yeah, you know, Will Sutton's had minimal reps. You know, with Eddie Goldman out, you know, he went in and actually played decent. You know, so you mentioned in the secondary, during the game, Harold Jones-Quarte went out and Chris Brzezinski stepped in. So we had some issues during the game as well. You know, I think Cam Meredith, you know, had one problem with the fumble, and yet he made a nice catch on a middle read versus cover two, you know, when we were trying to mount a comeback.
Yes, that was a tremendous catch. And he in particular, we talk about him a lot, if he can just find that consistency.
Yeah.
You know, to make plays. I know no one likes fumbles. They do happen. But that was a tremendous catch where he went up and looked like a veteran receiver going up to climb the ladder to get that high point and ball and tuck it away.
Well, that's what we're, you know, that's where we're missing the boat a little bit right now is the consistency. You know, and consistency for, you know, 60 minutes or all four quarters. And, you know, it's something the guys are, they realize it and they're working hard to correct it.
Jordan Howard excites. I can see that. I hear the reaction from fans when they see him. He broke off a couple of runs here in the last 2 weeks that perk your ears up and open your eyes a little bit, don't they?
Yeah, I think he's a big guy that's, you know, learning our system, both in a run and the pass game, which is pretty extensive in the National Football League with all the different fronts and defenses you see. But he definitely has a skill set, and, you know, he's making improvement every week.
And that run game overall will also get better with that offensive line finding time together as well. They got to get more reps. It's just all there's to it. People don't want to hear it, but you need more reps together.
Well, there's no doubt. And then I think when you fall behind 24-3, you know, one of the media guys asked me about it today, and, you know, it's running the ball is not real conducive to conserving time trying to catch up. So we've been caught a little bit by situations in games as well.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Back to throw, Hoyer again looking, coming clean at the goal line, in for the touchdown. Touchdown, Zach Miller. Touchdown, Bears. Touchdown number two tonight, 6-yarder. Hoyer to Miller.
And Zach Miller, the Xfinity Player of the Game, brought to you by Xfinity. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios, PNC Studios at Hallis Hall. Coach Fox and Jeff Joniak, he had his best and most targeted game. Got a lot of throws in his direction, also a byproduct of the situation you guys were in, but took some big hits in the process, too, and hung on to the football, Zach Miller.
Yeah, he gutted it out. He was banged up a little bit, and he wouldn't come out. We tried to get him out a couple times, so... You know, kudos to him for, you know, hanging in there. And those throws, you know, were excellent throws by Brian Hoyer. There are tight windows down there in the red area, so there's not big openings. And a couple good throws and a couple of great grabs by Zach.
Let's talk about that because that one throw that you just reminded me, it was a trio of guys, a triangle there, three guys, and he put it in there, and it was just perfect. Perfect throw down the middle of the field. And if those plays start developing and you get your wideouts to maybe Kevin White break a deep go route or something, won't that loosen things up a little bit defensively?
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, and even a guy like Zach, I mean, Zach missed, I think, all four preseason games. He missed most of training camp with a concussion protocol and couldn't quite get out of that. So, you know, he's really just had sparing time as far as production, you know, so far in this regular season that's three games old.
Hoyer, no interceptions, fumbled once in a sack strip, but overall the protection held up very well over the course of the game. He didn't get hit much, just a couple of times, and he did move the team, and as the game wore on, further than those just shorter 10-yard routes, it started to develop a little bit. Overall, what did you think?
Well, I think, you know, anytime you throw it 49 times and you can get hit as minimally as we did, I think is good. So I think our O-line, you know, got a little bit closer to some of the nuances we need to have, you know, in games as far as protection. Again, it's some guys that haven't been together very long, 3 weeks to be exact. I think it was improved for sure.
And you were asked about it today, whether or not Jay Cutler will be healthy enough in the coming days to be able to be back out there. But, no one's awarded anything from week to week. So I think a lot of people took it, though, as, maybe he wouldn't come back if he was healthy enough, if you thought so.
Well, he's definitely injured, and, we evaluate it day to day. We're back in, obviously, this morning, this afternoon. Tomorrow's the players' day off, and then everybody will show back up Wednesday, and we'll get a better feel for where that thumb is on Wednesday.
You mentioned Kevin White, a better day, too. How much would that one route down the right side where he wrestled with Morris Claiborne for the football, went up and got it, which is exactly what he's capable of doing, do for his overall confidence to know, hey, I can do that here in this league?
Well, I think he has that confidence. It's just a matter of getting out there in game conditions, with each game. I mean, he's going to improve and get more of that confidence. And so, for you to gain confidence, good things got to happen. And so, obviously, a couple of those grabs were, a good confidence booster for him.
There's a lot of sideline routes, doing part two, the ability for Alshon and Kevin being big receivers to go up and get it. How much time does it take to develop those outside routes with the quarterback in terms of hitting landmarks, keeping in bounds, or to keep it away from a defender, and it better just throw it away sometimes? Does that take a lot of time, those outside routes?
Yeah, most definitely. I think, it's all timing. It is precision in the passing game. And, the more you're together and know each individual guy's nuances, the better it is.
All right. You may not agree with this at all. I mean, it's not even a statement. It's a discussion more than anything. But observation, I guess, is time of possession hurting your defense because they're out there a lot? They're the number one in the league in terms of being on the field a long time.
Well, most definitely. But, sometimes, you can be part of the problem. When you have 9 or 10 play drives that eat up 8 minutes, obviously that's, you're a little bit at fault there. And it's kind of nice if your offense can answer with the same kind of drive. And we just not put that mix together for 4 full quarters yet. And it's something that we're continuing to harp on, and our guys are battling to get it right.
As a staff, as a coach, and when you see, okay, yesterday, 10, 9, 9, 12 play scoring drives on you, is it killing you as a coach? Is your frustration level like somebody make a play just because you're human?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure our fans feel much the same way, but
no question.
When they don't punt in the first half, that's not a good sign. So, again, it's simple. It's an oversimplification, but the job of the defense is to take the ball away, whether it's by downs or takeaways, and then offensively, it's to possess the ball, and you do that with, third down conversions, or either that, or first down, second down, first down, whatever it is, explosive plays. But that's ideally you want to get into. In fact, it's interesting. I just got done watching the first half so far of the Green Bay Detroit game. It was 31-3 at halftime. So it's it can happen. Our opponent a week ago, the final was 34-3 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it's, it can happen. You just got to do all you can to not let it happen.
If you're coming to the next 3 Bears home games, check out the Miller Lite Chicago Bears Ultimate Tailgate, brought to you by Chicago Tribune Sports Plus, starting 2.5 hours before kickoff right outside of Soldier Field.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Prescott looking Beasley's way, now comes off him, goes down the middle to Terrence Williams, running left to the 40 of the Bears, to the 30, to the 25, gives up the ball, piled up inside the 20-yard line. The Bears have scooped it up. It's Adrian Amos up with it. Amos to the 20, running it back to the 30, and steps out of bounds at the 35-yard line.
Bears did take it away, and that was effort by Jacoby Glenn. The strip, Adrian Amos, the recovery, and a Bears takeaway. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show from PNC Studios at Hallis Hall, featuring head coach John Fox. Our final segment with the head coach. How about that performance right there on that play? That's kind of the effort you're looking for. If something bad's going to go wrong, keep fighting.
Yeah, that's one thing that these young guys are doing. I mean, they're competing hard. They're trying very hard. I think that people could see that even in the second half performance after about as lousy a first half as you could have. So, you know, I would just ask everybody out there to hang with us. And these guys are working hard. They're trying to get better. We just got to put two halves of football together.
You mentioned explosive plays in the first segment. What's your definition, by the way, so fans understand what defines an explosive play?
Well, I think, you know, runs 10 or more and then passes over 15. So minimizing that, because typically those explosive plays results in points, and you try to minimize those as much as you can.
Right, because they had a few of those yesterday. And, you know, it's interesting, these young players that you've run into so far this season, at quarterback in particular, they've done a really nice job. Is this what we're going to see as maybe a trend more often because of what's going on? I mean, purely in the maybe in the passing game, if they have the mobility. I know if they haven't had the experience to read like Carson Wentz did at North Dakota State. I don't know how much Dak Prescott did at Mississippi State, but they certainly look impressive right now throughout the league.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, that's not the first time that's ever happened.
No. I mean,
there's been a lot of great quarterbacks that step in and, you know, make an instant impact. And, you know, I think in Carson Wentz's case, obviously when you go that high in the draft, there's high expectations. You know, not minimizing, you know, where Dak went or, you know, what he's accomplished thus far this season. But, you know, as another example of a young guy, you know, their starting quarterback gets hurt and he steps in, and they've got a really good supporting cast on offense, and he's done a remarkable job.
Yeah, they have that offensive line really, really something. And I'm a huge fan of Beasley, by the way. That guy's tough to cover.
Yeah, he's very quick, and he's been around a little bit. He's very crafty. He understands it. He reminds me of, you know, when Wes was in his prime, Wes Welker with New England, and, you know, they have a good connection. And he's very tough to cover in a five-yard radius for sure.
Does every offense need somebody like that nowadays?
Well, I think, you know, on third down, there's such a big situation in football that, you know, when you have that, you have that matchup, and this game's about matchups. And, you know, if you can make them double cover them, it opens up some other areas for other receivers.
That non-reviewable offsides penalty on the onside kick, surprise onside kick, did you get an understanding of it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a judgment call, so you know, you don't get to replay offsides. You know, the things that could be reviewed there were, there's three of them that could all have been by Dallas and Dallas only. You know, whether somebody touched it before, you know, we recovered it. I think I'm trying to think what else there was, but.
But did you think it was a really tough?
Whether it went 10 yards?
Yeah, 10 yards thing. But did it appear to be offsides?
It was close. And again, they judge it based on your body can't be over if you're being real technical about it. On the onside kicks, how they knew it was coming, I don't know. I'm talking about the officials and the line judges, whether or not, you know, they had an inclination or whatever. But it was very close.
And Sherrick McManus, man, he really got whacked.
Yes. Yeah, it was well executed. I think Jeff Rogers and, you know, Richard Hightower, our special teams coaches have done a tremendous job thus far, and now we just got to get it to be contagious.
On to the Lions. So let's take a look at division matchup. What are they like without Calvin Johnson?
Well, I think, you know, they definitely have weapons offensively. I think they got kind of involved in a shootout. They had a game a little bit like us in Green Bay, and that they fell behind. I think they might have been 31-3 at halftime, but they came roaring back, made it a one-touch game, and made it close. And, you know, when you have those kind of weapons offensively, you can do that.
Yeah, Marvin Jones blew up 200 yards, but Matthew Stafford, you know, it's all about him, I guess. Their successes often ride his arm, and he gets it out, and when he's on target, he can hurt you.
And he can be mobile, too, you know, so he moves, he steps up, he can hurt you with his legs. He's got an outstanding arm, he's a tall guy, make all the throws. Like I said, he's got a pretty good supporting cast.
And Jim Bob Cooter, a friend of yours in the coaching business, their offensive coordinator, likes to run about half no huddle, right? So your defense is going to have to be prepared for something like that.
Yeah, that's been their kind of MO. That was them last year when they made the change, and that change happened, you know, fairly early in the season last year.
And how about their defense? What do you know?
Well, I think, you know, they've got Onsen didn't play last week. He's probably arguably their best pass rusher, and they've got a pretty active secondary, and you know, I think the strength of them is a little bit like Dallas, in that I think the strength of them is on offense right now, and defensively they've got some young players that are, you know, learning their scheme and getting better every week.
All right. Well, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time, and go get the Lions.
All right. Appreciate it.
That's Bears head coach John Fox coming up next, Bears linebackers coach Glenn Pyers will join the program.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. And this hour featuring linebackers coach Glenn Pyers. Brought to you by Verizon, North Shore University Health System, United Airlines, and Miller Lite. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
You want to win games. There's no panic. There's a sense of urgency, that's for sure. You got to put out this fire and put it out quick, like yesterday, the day before, you know.
Yeah, we do know that, and that's the veteran speaking. Jarrell Freeman, another big tackle game for the Bears in yesterday's loss to the Dallas Cowboys. His position coach has joined the program, Glenn Pyers, and thank you for joining us, as always. And
welcome,
Jarrell,
Jeff.
Jarrell's a voice in that room. He's a voice in that whole locker room, not just your room.
Yes, he is. His veteran leadership is very valuable to us, and we're looking forward to it being strong throughout the year.
And he's a tackle machine, and he keeps adding these double-digit tackle games and always around the football, it appears, and he shows up with an attitude. I think Bears fans will enjoy watching him play, his physicality.
Production is something he's been very good at over the years, but that's not what he's about. He's about winning games, and I think that's what his message was, and that's what's going to satisfy him. Tackles, yeah, okay, but the winning the games, that's the bottom line.
Exactly. So yesterday he was paired with a rookie getting his first, dipping his toe in the NFL pool for the first time in a regular season game, Nick Wachowski, the rookie out of West Virginia. So he even today said, you know, I gotta work at getting all these young guys understanding what exactly I have to do, and it's my job to shepherd them. He's taking that on with Danny Trevathan out for the moment.
Yeah, he is. I think he understands the communication part pre-snap, before the ball's even snapped, and getting all that squared away, and the guys are working together, and then when we're on the sideline, the communication. I think that's a big part of the veterans, that where they have the edge. They know when to communicate, and they can get things done very quickly. And that's what the young guys, that's what they have to learn, and thank God they got Jarrell with them.
You know? What did you see from Nick yesterday?
You know, I think Nick, the big eyes were there. I'm being in that venue last night on Sunday night. He got comfortable as it went along, but it was a beginning point, and he knows he's got a lot to work on, and that's going to be his starting point.
And he did have a good couple of wallops, and that's what he's known for, mm-hmm. a big physical tackler, isn't he?
Yeah, he did. Playing fast and just letting it go, that's what he was struggling in the beginning, but it got a little bit better as it went along.
Is that somewhat of an expectation of a young player, though, too?
Yeah, you know, I think when we ask them to do certain things, now go do it when it's actually when the play's going, that's the difference maker for him. So
at his best, when he is playing full speed, mm-hmm. and he won't have to think about it, what will be his assets as a player?
You know, I think his physicality, as you mentioned, Jeff, I think he can bring something with him. He does have a good base to himself in the run game, and I think he has a lot of versatility. You know, from when he was in West Virginia, he can play the back end, he also can play in the middle as well.
Right, he was a safety at a time there now,
exactly.
Some weight and some muscle. Jonathan Anderson also getting in there as well, getting some snaps, and certainly we got to know him last season. Has his development started heading on a path that you're comfortable with?
Yeah, you know, I think he's playing all positions. That's his biggest value for us. He can be a stopgap here, stopgap there, and his special teams value is very, very high as well. So in that respect, yes, he is. His value is getting a lot higher.
And I know players hate getting pigeonholed into being that type of player. They want the big bite at the apple. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes a little time, though, for that to happen.
Sure does. He's just a second-year guy.
Yes.
And he was a safety when he was in college for his couple of years, so he knows that this is a long road, and he's a very diligent guy. He wants to do things. He wants to do things right.
I've spent several days talking to him over the course of this season. I do like where his head's at, though, and how he sees the game and views the game and thinks about the game and what it means to him.
The value of working off the field, in the meeting rooms, the value of the film work and everything else, he gets it. And that's what's giving him the edge.
The Bears Coaches Show with linebackers coach Glenn Pyers and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
We got a couple five-star guys down, but when the young guys come in and they mess up or something and I'm out there, you know, I got to take that person. I feel that's on me too, you know, getting those guys ready, getting them comfortable.
That is Jarrell Freeman, the Bears linebacker, earlier this afternoon here at Hallis Hall. As we welcome you back to the Bears Coaches Show from PNC Studio here at Hallis Hall. We heard from Freeman and also from Zach Miller, who had a big day yesterday catching the football and a couple of touchdown passes. Jeff Joniak and Glenn Pyers, the Bears inside linebacker coach, as we continue to break down what happened in Dallas and look ahead to the broader scope of this Bears defense with some young players. A nickel package yesterday included Christian Jones in there, and so you know, you've had him working at outside linebacker, obviously, and also back to the inside linebacker. Training camp felt to me, he felt maybe that was maybe his position he liked the most, being outside. But versatility is king when you're not starting in this league. And so he had to get back inside as well to help you guys out. How's he doing?
You know, I think he has length. I think that's one of his assets. And Witten was a pretty good, productive tight end for many years at Dallas. And we felt that that's something that Christian can do with his long arms and his height, and we knew that was going to be a target, so we thought that was going to be a positive thing for us, and I thought Christian did a decent job.
And this is guys had starting experience, so that's not always fun to go back to being a role player and being a special teams guy. So do you work with his mindset also in that regard?
Well, I think you're always up. You never know. You're always going to prepare to be up. It could be, you know, one play, it could be 20 plays. And I think he has that mentality, and I think he knows the value of that. And not being in a role of starting, he doesn't like, but knowing that he can have that opportunity, take advantage of the window.
We've had an opportunity to visit many times with Danny Trevathan. Just love his whole character and mindset about the game. Unfortunately, he had the thumb surgery. Hopefully, he'll be back soon. And if he does come back, even with protection, I'm confident this guy is going to be able to still make plays.
Absolutely. I mean, he's been in the big show. He knows the importance of playing fast and the physical part of the game he enjoys. And I think he's a real good student. This is going to go hand in hand with Jarrell.
Has it changed your job in any way when you have two veterans like Freeman and Trevathan in that room?
Yeah, you know, these guys are at a different level. They understand, so they need to be challenged constantly. And the game at their level is different from the game at the rookie and Nick and those other guys. So it's a two-part job in a lot of ways. You know, these guys want to be successful, and they always want to go to the next level, and making sure that my job is to make sure they do that. We're going to make sure that those rookies are also going to be taken care of as well.
And there are some guys on the practice squad now, too, that have been brought in. Obviously, Ronald Powell's been around a little bit, but we don't know much about Ronald Powell. What can you tell us?
Yeah, I think that's right. The practice squad is the key. What's he going to do in the practice squad? We do practice squad what we do, our techniques, our responsibilities, and we're evaluating those practice squad guys as much as anything else. So how he takes those reps and how he improves is going to be big for him.
And it's been in his third year. And John Timu, of course. John Timu, many of us really love the way John Timu plays, so we root for him.
Yeah, he's, I don't know, a favorite of a lot of people, I think, just because of his approach. And he can be all positions as well. Versatile guy, smart coach on the field. You know, even when, you know, we have games and home games, when he's around, he's involved in everything. We're on the bench making adjustments, he's right there, understanding everything. So he's a valuable guy for us. Want to have him in our room.
Plays with emotion. So when a guy does that on his own, or are you encouraging him to do that on game day if he's not on the active roster?
Both.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say to him, I say, you see, you know, he's been out all week. He's in all the meetings, all the game plans. I said, John, you see something? Is a tendency breaker, something different, something we need to know? Yes, coach. And he's like, he jumps right on that thing. So he wants to be a part of it.
Well, your focus is on game planning, as in this case now, on a short sleep night going to get into the Detroit Lions, but your job as a coach to teach everybody involved. It doesn't matter if they're starter or not. Do you have to dedicate your time in a certain way to get everybody?
Yeah, you know, we'll have our bulk time that we do with the veterans, and we'll try to get some time before and after with the young guys, anything extra that we might need, and they're real, real good about that. They know where my office is, and the hours are long, so.
Yeah, and it has to be something that you appreciate. If they're not doing that, you'd be concerned, right?
Absolutely.
If they're not knocking on your door.
Absolutely. That just tells you the want to. And these guys are pros, and they like the job, and they like being a part of this league and this organization. So they're going to do everything they can to keep that going.
What are some of the challenges of facing young quarterbacks like you have? And in the first 3 weeks of the season, Brock Osweiler included, even though he had experience last year, and even back into training camp when the first game playing Trevor Siemian, who had a great game yesterday. The challenge is now for our defenses to deal with young quarterbacks, especially that have been in pass-heavy systems in college.
Yeah, Jeff, I know there's a little bit of the unknown at times. You know, I know the NFL prototype quarterback is certainly changing with these young guys. And I know we were talking earlier that they'll have options to do different things on different plays. There's a three-option play. It might be this or that. And putting that element into what we have to do defensively with our responsibilities, run and pass, now they have a three-possible play happening. There's a lot more happening there, and I think there's a lot more studying that we have to do. And what is that quarterback looking at? We have to look at those same things, and the element of the run game and the pass techniques, that puts more on us when they are putting more on that quarterback. It puts more on us as linebackers.
Do, in your opinion now, the younger offensive linemen that come in, are they – I mean, it seems simple to say, are they better pass protectors than they are run blockers? And can the linebackers do some damage in the run game with less experienced run blocking technique?
Well, the pass protection, Jeff, is where are protections being set and where can we take advantage of that? That is an important part. Do they put the read zone game in with that? Is the read zone part of it? Which way is the back offset? Is it to the tight end side? Is it to the receiver side? Those are all elements that we have to spend much, much time with. And I think when they put the run into it, the offensive linemen are truly run blockers, and they want us to believe the run, and then you get the play action off of it. So there's a lot of moving parts.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears. News Radio on 105.9 FM, WBBM.
And welcome back to the program here at PNC Studio at Hallis Hall in our final moments with Glenn Pyers, the Bears inside linebackers coach. We'll hear from Coach Fox again here in just a moment, getting you ready for the Bears and Lions. You know, I talked with great length this evening with Coach Fox about it being a continuity game, obviously, for reasons on game day with all three phases playing together as one and complementary football, but also continuity of a defense is also critical, even at your level, you know, with the two inside linebackers. How long does that take? I know everybody wants the magic pill.
Yeah.
How long does that take?
It better not be very long. I know that, Jeff, you know, and I know that as Jarrell said, you know, it's the panic is when we just got to get things right and get everybody together. And I think that the situational football for us and understanding that, and that's the thing we've got to get well for our guys. And whatever the situation is, you know, red zone, third down, and all those different, you know, we've got to be much better at that. And I see that's what's got to come together for us.
Yeah. And how do you keep a young team, a young defense, or in this case, a young linebacker or two, not referring to Jarrell, but when you're really on, they got you on skates, and you can't seem to. And yesterday with four straight possessions, how do you keep them confident that you can eventually slow it down?
Well, we got to do the best we can as coaches to keep them playing fast. I mean, if they're not sure, they're hesitating or whatever, that's going to be part of our job. Coach, you know, define this or define that on the sideline. So the faster they can play, now comes confidence. And when they can execute, now comes the success. So playing fast, that's what they always want. That's what everybody wants.
These young quarterbacks that can move and run the pistol or run the read option and have mm-hmm. that threat like Dak Prescott did versus a pocket quarterback that everybody says you mm-hmm. got to be able to trigger from the pocket to be successful in the National Football League. I don't know if that'll always be the case. I'm assuming it will be. Mm-hmm. But is it feel more comfortable for even coaches to say, okay, we know where this guy is. Mm-hmm. He can still kill us from the pocket if he gets rid of the football in 2 seconds. But is that easier to prepare for, obviously?
Well, I mean.
Or is that all relative?
I think it's relative to a point, Jack, because he's going to sit in. You got guys that can read coverages and they can get the ball down the field. And we went great. We did some great jobs down the field. There was nobody to throw to. We were locking it down real well. And now it's going to be on the rush. So everybody ties together.
Got a thought on Stafford?
A guy that can really hurt you down the field. He seems to be a lot more poised. His experience is truly showing. We have a lot of respect for him. He's got some great, great weapons. You know, he's going to be he'll be a big, big, big challenge for us.
Yeah, the post-Calvin Johnson era, they still have weapons, and one of them had 200 yards receiving yesterday.
Absolutely.
For the Detroit Lions. Coach, we're out of time. We're going to hear from John Fox here from earlier in the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jeff.
Glenn Pyers, the Bears inside linebacker coach, earlier this evening on how all three phases need to play together, that's the next task for the Bears and John Fox.
Anytime you let them score the first four times they get the ball, that doesn't help your cause. And like I said, the one thing that was encouraging was, basically outscored them in the second half. Unfortunately, we dug ourselves too big of a hole in the first half.
And it started with an offensive snap that didn't go right, but a whole game and a whole night. One snap can't set a whole tone, but there have been back-to-back games now where the first series hasn't gone so great. Can it? I mean, is that something that you have to work your way out of, and can a team not be that fragile to have one snap kind of set a tone?
Well, I think, if you look at the first three games, Jeff, we haven't had the same lineup yet. I mean, we had a new center to start the season, played two games, and then this past game we've got a new quarterback. So, a lot of those things, they take a minute. We've got to get it cleaned up fast. It's not like it's overly complicated, but there's no doubt we do need to get better.
Any hidden dangers now with a younger team that starts 0-3 in terms of a psyche and so forth?
No different than any team that starts 0-3. I think, I like our locker room. I think we've got guys that are going to give their all. I think a good indicator of that was how we battled in the second half. We just got to get better. We're not playing good enough football to win games. In three games, we've really only played a half in each one that would be anything close to consistent. So, putting the 60 minutes or both halves together is going to be critical.
And there's plenty of voices in that room now, too, that'll speak up, won't they?
Yeah, I don't think, that's not the issue. I think it's just a matter of executing better and, getting some continuity. This is the ultimate of team games, and it's nice to have been together for a minute, and we don't have a lot of real senior leadership as far as the years in the league in that locker room, but guys that are plenty willing.
Yeah, it's not, they're an emotional team, though. I mean, I even hear it, during the course of the week going in there. They have fun together. They talk. They're loud in there, giving each other razzing each other. And when they go to work, there's some guys that like to chirp a little bit. I'm saying it in a positive way. So
yeah,
I think that's good, though.
Yeah, there's no doubt that's good. And it's like I said, it's a good bunch. We just haven't, mastered all our football skills yet.
All right. So the second half encouragement was the performance in overall 14-7. You outscore them. Do you evaluate it the same way as you would a game that's 0-0 in the first half? Do you evaluate everything that way, even though you guys are digging out of a hole?
Well, ultimately, the most important stat is W's, and we haven't got one of those in three outings. So it still is what it is, and you have to, go back and you have to find the bright spots. I call it good, bad, and ugly. There are good things that do happen. I think we had eight explosive plays in this game, which we had not had that, both runs and passes. I think Zach Miller had a good night, as far as two touchdown passes and the multitude of catches as far as our receiving core. Like Kevin White had his best outing to date. So there are positive, just not enough of them.
So you said the good, bad, and ugly, so I was going to have you break them down in category, and you already got the good. That was my next question.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, third down becomes a problem.
Yeah.
We haven't done very well in offense or defense, and we've been up and down a little bit like our season thus far. That's a critical area. I think turnovers, again, they we gave up two and we only took away one. That never helps. So those are key factors. I think pressure on the quarterback. Everybody talks about the rush yardage. They probably had 45 to 50 yards by the quarterback. Now goes on run totals. And so that's more on drop back passes, not design runs where, we don't do a good job of hemming him up and letting him out.
All right, that's head coach John Fox. Sunday's Bears game brought to you by PNC, the official bank of the Bears. The first 40,000 fans enter Soldier Field, receive a Bears fan flag courtesy of PNC, and get the ladies together for a night out with the Bears. Chicago Bears Ladies Night brought to you by Olivet Nazarene University, Tuesday, October 4th at Soldier Field. Find out more at chicagobears.com/events. That's going to wrap up tonight's program. For Coach Fox and Coach Pyers, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks to Greg Miller, Andy Gersher, and Keith Johnson. Bears Lions, 9 a.m. pregame, noon kickoff from Soldier Field on Sunday. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM.